do it for me.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now, Lord.
Right now. As you stand, the time is getting far. You know, I don't want to hold you long. But I just want to acknowledge and do my protocol thing. Amen.
Amen.
First, I want to recognize Chairman of the Board, Dr. Pope, in your respective place. Good to see you, sir.
Yes, sir.
So glad that you're here.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you, your encouragement. Pastor White, I appreciate you. Thank God for you.
Bless you.
President Ricky Scott.
Bless you.
In your respective place, the awesome angel of this house.
Bless you.
Amen.
Bless
you,
sir.
Amen. Amen. The jewel in my camp, President of District Women's.
Yes, sir.
Sister Ophelia Morrison.
Amen.
And last but not least, I want to say the last for the best for the last, right?
Amen.
And that's my spiritual father, our moderator, Reverend Dr. Shaw.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Moderator, this is kind of out of order, but mommy is in the house tonight. My mother's in the house. Sister Carolyn's mother Smith for making sure mommy stays active and she's in good care at the 93rd Street Baptist Church.
Awesome.
If I forgot something, chug to my head, not my heart. Amen.
My father.
Amen. Amen. Is it turning here?
Yes, there she is. Right.
I was going to get a beat when I get out of here. Sister Turner, Women's President, God bless you for being here.
Amen.
Amen. There is a word from the Lord for us tonight.
We believe.
There's a word from the Lord. If y'all just have your prayers, it'll be just all right.
Yes.
So if you turn in your Bible to the last book of the New Testament,
right?
Revelations chapter 3. There you find a scripture I think will encompass and occupy my conversation with you tonight.
All right.
Revelations chapter 3. I would like to shine a sermonic spotlight on verses 7 through 13.
Mm-hmm.
Revelations chapter 3. Okay. Let us pray very briefly. Oh, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, once again another time, that we stand behind the Holy Russell to proclaim your word. Father God, right now we're unable to do this by ourselves. So we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to come on in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Anoint every seat in the place. Touch every mind in the place. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Make this word plain enough so that a child can understand it. And Father God, right now, bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Father God, you said in your word, we perish for lack of knowledge. So Father God, equip us right now. Just have your way in this place, Father God. Father God, let everything be done here, everything that I say and do be done in decency and in order.
Yes.
And Father God, allow me to preach. Heaven gets happy and hell gets upset.
Yes.
Speak, Lord, for your people herewith. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church to Philadelphia, write these things, said he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it, and shut it and no man open it. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast had no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the church. I like to put a tag on this text to bring us back to remembrance. When you think about it, it's not again. The fruit of faithfulness.
All right.
You think you're ceasing the presence of the Lord. The fruit of faithfulness. See, boy, it can be said without much argument or debate that the book of Revelation is probably the most problematic, enigmatic, and paradoxical Bible book in the Bible.
That's right.
There's no writing like Revelation.
Oh, wow.
Revelation is one of those strange books that we shy away from, but we also want to run to.
Right.
Curiosity draws us into the book of Revelation. As the Apostle John prophetically paints a portrait of the end of time as given him by our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a problematic book. As a child, I remember some old school Baptist churches prevented their children from reading the book of Revelation for fear the imagery and the language would frighten the children, causing them to stay away and run out of church. But as modern society has shown much of us, what we deal with in life is inspired by the book of Revelation.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
There are hundreds of written works dealing with the end of time that is inspired by Revelation.
Yes, sir.
Great Christian series like Left Behind find the rooting in the book of Revelation. Many a film writer and producer has gone to the book of Revelation to in cinematic form, give us a portrait, paint a portrait of the end of time, that we might understand what the last days would be like. The false prophets of the millennium have gone to the book of Revelation, church, seeking some type of formula to predict the date and time and happenings that will allow us to see the end of the ages. They're trying, but they can't do it, y'all. The book of Revelation is probably one of the most difficult books to interpret. It is filled with metaphors, symbols, and imagery, not only frightening, but also hard to interpret. Armageddon, the Antichrist, the sign and the seals, the mark of the beast, the 144,000, the 24 elders, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Read the book of Revelation. It's an amazing book. For the bulk of the book, although it deals with the end of time, and it's filled with images and need to be deciphered and decoded, the reality is the book of Revelation starts with no hidden messages. Doesn't deal with the end of time, doesn't present anything that needs to be translated, but rather, before Jesus gives John a prophetic insight to these last days, he charges and challenges John to give a message to the seven churches in Asia Minor. To get them ready for the days that are about to come. You got to understand the context under which John writes the book of Revelations. Be careful of people who want to anesthetize text and remove it from the context. At the time, it is the beginning of the persecution of the Christian church. There's a Roman emperor by the name of Domitian who takes great pleasure in persecuting Christians. And John has been given insight that Domitian's successor will be a brother who will take this persecution to another level. An emperor by the name of Nero. And in order to prepare these Christian churches for what is in their future, Jesus writes to address some things going on in their present. In order to get them ready for what is coming down the road, Jesus said, there are some things you got to get fixed right now. If you're going to endure it and what's on the way. And so Jesus gives a divine diagnostic examination of seven churches: Ephesus, Sardis, Smyrna, Pergamum, Tyre, Thyra, Laodicea, and Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
And within each church, Jesus gives a word of warning about some things that are going on that need to be corrected in it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If the church is going to be able to endure what Domitian and Nero is going to bring their way. Jesus charges them that some faults and failures that need to be corrected. One church has lost its first love for Jesus. Another church has given into their way to sexual immorality. Another church has mixed Orthodox Christian doctrine with false teaching from false gods. One church has become lukewarm. They are neither passionate about Jesus and now have blended into society. And Jesus said, y'all make me want to vomit. He charges each church with some faults and failure, except the church in Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, by Jesus' own admission, the church in Philadelphia has done pretty good. He says to them, you have been faithful. You have kept my word. You have not denied my name. As a matter of fact, you are the church others should want to be like. Sound like us, don't the seaboard? You are roaring. God is adding to you. The quality of saints. I said quality saints. Some of you have started to pay your tithes. You can have adopted the right spiritual attitude so I can start using you. But yet there's a problem, moderator, in Philadelphia. That is more dangerous and dire than all the other churches put together. They seemingly look like they have it going on. They have all the appearance of having successful ministries. They got budget. They got members. They get building funds. They got ministries and ministries online. They got everything that looks right. Jesus says they have a deeper problem going on here. Allow me to share with you what the problem is in Philadelphia. He says in verse number 8, you have been faithful. You've kept my word. You have not denied my name. You have done everything you should. But as a result, listen to me, T-boy. As a result of that, you now have a little strength. Watch this, church. Your faithfulness has weakened your spiritual strength. Your commitment to doing the will of God has left you weary because sometimes being faithful is frustrating. Sometimes being faithful is frustrating, Sister Turner. Sometimes you grow weary in doing the right thing. Sometimes you just get fed up with trying to be what God has called you to be. Especially when you are surrounded in an environment where ungodliness seems to be prospering. I preach to myself. The reality is, although we are committed, faithful, although we try, although we want to be what God wants to be, it's difficult when you are committed to the ways of God and you are always struggling and you have a crazy co-worker who does not go to church, does not pray, don't even know how to spell Jesus, seems like they're always on the top. I know y'all Bible big. You got a big cross around your neck. You talk in tongues on Sunday morning in church and all of that. But there's not one of us here who has gotten weary in being holy. Who has not gotten frustrated doing it God's way. To be honest, when you reach that same point, Solomon reached when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon sat down, moderator, and he looked at how the righteous are struggling and the unrighteous prosper. Solomon asked the question, what is the point in doing it God's way? What is the point of being faithful? What is the point of living righteous? What is the point in being obedient? Why do I come to church every Sunday? I have to get up in time to make it in for Sunday school. I have to make sure I'm faithful and coming to church at 11 o'clock. Why do I have to give? Why do I have to love those that disrespect me and despitefully use me? Why should I pray every day? Why should I do it God's way? What is the point?
What is the point?
If I do all of that and I still struggle, that's a mighty good question. I'm glad y'all asked me.
Yes, sir. Tell us.
You are on the brink of saying to heck with it. You have already made up your mind that tomorrow it's going to go down, and that's the way it has to go down.
My mind.
You have had it in your mind, I tried to do this thing God's way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I tried to be nice. I tried to walk in peace. But baby, you have just pushed me too far. Tomorrow it has to go down the way it's got to go down. You're wondering why hold on to God's ways. And Jesus writes through John to encourage the saints of antiquity in Philadelphia the same way he's encouraging us tonight at Mount Nebo in Seaboard.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
God is letting us know. He sent me by to let you know. If you hold on to God's way, if you walk in God's will and commit yourself to being obedient to the command of God, then God will do some things for you that you cannot do for yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or you can experience outside of his will.
Mm-hmm.
Lord told me to tell you that there are three things I'm going to do for you. If you will stay committed to my will, you cannot experience if you abandon being faithful.
Yes.
Learning from the past, lean to the future.
Right,
stay faithful.
Okay. Yes, sir.
One, I'm going to grant you,
yes,
Pastor McKenzie,
yes, sir,
some indestructible possibilities. Some indestructible possibilities.
Yes, sir.
Since you have been faithful, since you have done it my way, since you have persevered, since you have held on to God's unchanging hand, I will set you up an open door that no one can shut.
All right.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to open a door in your life that no demon in hell can shut or undo what I've done. Now, in case you don't know English grammatical structuring, that is, can I help you? I is a reference,
right,
Dr. Poe, to Jesus, who's the subject and the initiator of the open door. This is Jesus declaring, I'm going to open a door for you that you cannot open for yourself. Because I'm so much God that I can make a way out of no way. Open a door that you can't even open for yourself. I figured out why only some of you got happy right there. You see, some of y'all, you see, because y'all think y'all successful. And you think you have arrived. I found that in any successful scenario,
yes,
watch me now, Pastor White, there are two groups of people. There are folk that look at where they landed in life, and they attribute to the Protestant work ethic that it works in a capitalistic society.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That in a capitalistic society, if I work hard and I do the right thing, I go to the right schools, I make the right decisions, and the right associations, where I land in life is a direct result of my work ethic. And I praise God for y'all.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I praise God for y'all.
Yeah.
If you got where you were because you grinded out, I praise God for you if you climbed up the ladder of success of life and you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. And you got up every morning and you bust your behind and you work hard. I praise God for you.
Yeah.
But there are few of us in here.
Yeah.
Who knows that? Nothing we have. Anything we got or anything we have accomplished. If it had not been for the Lord. Opening some doors for us, Reverend Farmers. I could not open for myself.
Yes,
is there anybody here that knows about the ministry of open doors?
Yeah.
I did not get here by myself. Yes. I did not get here because I worked so hard. But the Lord blessed me with some indestructible possibilities.
Yes.
Jesus said, hey, I can open doors that can't nobody shut.
Oh, yes, sir.
What I'm about to grant you is a possibility that can't nobody take it from you.
Yeah.
Why you upset? Because they don't think about you. Why you don't care if they don't got your back? I'm God. I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies.
Yes,
God told me, tell him through the saints. I don't know this for. He said, fret not yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Because of evildoers.
Yeah.
Neither thou be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb.
Yeah.
so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit. There we go. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. And case thou have enough for your Pastor Scott.
Yes, sir.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighted in our way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth his hand. I tried to exegete that text. I flipped that verse, moderator, backwards. It said, no way I got to hold on to his hand. It said, allow him to hold my hand. Because when I weak and feel like I can't go no further, God say, I got your back. Can that work for you? I'm pure Bible, y'all.
Go ahead.
When the Lord says no man can shut the door, he has opened. He's not only talking about, watch this church, watch Pastor. He's already talking, Dr. Pope, about people that hate you. He's not only talking about people that stand in your way. Watch how good God is.
Yes, sir.
When the Lord says no man can shut it,
yes, sir.
He's talking about you. Even you can't shut the door. Y'all missed the shout. Even you can't shut the door the Lord opens in your life. Even you can't mess up, but God is working in your life. Long time ago, 10 times old, we should have disqualified ourselves. But the Lord best blessed us anyway.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Number two, I will give you some impenetrable protection.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you're faithful, I'll give you some impenetrable protection.
Yes, sir.
What's the blessing of being faithful?
Yes, sir.
I will open a door no man can close because you have kept my word. I will keep you, watch this, impenetrable protection. I will keep you from the trials everybody else has to go through. It's in the book. If you are faithful, I will keep you from the stuff other folk have to go through. Every now and again,
yes, sir.
You should line yourself up next to somebody in your life,
yes, sir.
Who is going through something, and you know the only reason you are not going through it is because you, not because you've been so good, not because you've been better than they were. As a matter of fact, you probably made worse mistakes than they did. The only reason you were kept from it is because the Lord is a keeper.
Yes.
He's my paraclete. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He's a confidant. In the midnight hour, he will dry your tears away. When you're sitting on the edge of eternity on your bedside in the midnight hour, whenever Jesus will be a friend that's sticking closer than a brother.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you did not say amen, it's because you've never been through nothing.
Yes, sir.
But when you've been through some stuff that you got yourself in and the Lord kept you through it, when you should have lost everything, nobody got to make you bless God.
Yes, sir.
All you have to do is remember that what should have happened to you, you can declare the Lord is a keeper.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I wish I had some saints.
Yeah.
That the Lord had not put his hand on you.
My.
If he had not put his hand on me.
Yes.
If the Lord did not protect me. If the Lord had not shielded me.
Yeah.
I would have lost everything.
Yeah.
The old school Baptist church I was raised in had a brother by the name of Brother Williams.
Yes, sir.
He played the organ, Pastor, and the keyboard.
Yeah.
But every now and again, Pastor,
yes, sir,
he would get up and go to the microphone and sing an old James Cleveland song.
Yeah.
He would get to the microphone and sing, "Oh, to be kept by Jesus."
Yeah.
"Oh, to be kept by the power of God."
Yeah.
"I would be nothing."
Yeah.
"Nothing if God had not kept me."
Yeah.
Somebody, that's your amen here right now.
Yes,
"I would be nothing if the Lord did not keep me."
Well.
"I would be nothing if the Lord did not protect me."
Yeah.
Could...
yeah.
God said, "I give you some indestructible possibilities."
Yes,
he said, "I open doors that no one can close." He said, "I will give you some impenetrable protection."
Yes,
"I will keep you from the trials everybody else
has
to go through." But I kept you long enough.
Wow.
And Pastor White told me, "Don't keep all light because you're hungry and tired." I will give you some. I will give you some impenetrable protection. But guess what? The last one is here, right here, Pastor. Number 3. Jesus said, "If you are faithful, saints, and you hold on, I will give you some inexplicable provisions." Help your child, preach, Lord. Some inexplicable provisions. That word inexplicable, moderator, means unaccountable, unexplainable, incomprehensible, unfathomable, impenetrable, unsolvable, baffling, puzzling, perplexing, mysterious. God told me to tell you, saints, that you're faithful. I will bless you with some stuff that you can't even understand. I will bless you with some stuff that don't even make no sense. I'll be so good to you that you will scratch your head wondering how God did what he did. Now, there are some things in life I understand, y'all. There are some blessings I know how to got there. But God is so good, Reverend White, that every now and again, the Lord will set it. A blessing into my life. He will bless you so good, Pastor McKinsey, that you can't even explain it. Don't know when God did it. Don't know how he did it. Don't know why he did it. But I'm just glad that God did it. I'm glad that he did what he did. There should be somebody here that can say, "The Lord has blessed me in a way I cannot explain." Here's what the Lord says, "I'm going to bless you with." Here it is. Here's this unexplainable thing. And we're going to get him on out of here. Here it is.
Yes, sir.
He said, "Watch, I'm going to give you, what I'm going to give you is something you can't count." That's easy if you can count it.
Yeah.
"What I'm going to give you is not something you can drive." That's easy.
That's easy, sir.
"I'm going to give you something that don't wear out."
Yeah.
"And don't need to be returned." I'm going to give you something that you can't get nowhere else.
Yes, sir.
Jesus says, if you hold on and be faithful.
Yeah.
Faithful on a few things, church.
Yes, sir.
He said, "I will give you a new name."
Come on.
Yes, sir.
"I will write my name." I'm in the book.
Yes, sir.
"I will write my name on your forehead."
Yes, sir.
"And in the blood of the Lamb, your new name is redeemed." Your new name is justified. Your new name is born again. Your new name is joint heir with Jesus Christ. Your new name is washed in the blood of the Lamb. The reason that your new name is important is that under my new name, Pastor McKenzie, I can get stuff I can't get in my foreign cup.
Back in the day,
moderator, when the phone got turned off, we didn't sweat it.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Johnny, we didn't sweat it.
Yes, sir.
Sister, when the phone got turned off, we didn't sweat it.
Yes, sir.
We didn't sweat a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Phone got turned off, we didn't care. We didn't worry about it.
My
we
man.
Just went down to the phone company and turned the phone back on the big mama's name.
Yeah.
Shout.
Yeah,
at the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
And every tongue shall confess.
Yeah.
Y'all
yeah.
I guess I gotta make this thing applicable to you. The how's getting out here it is. In 1967, moderator, Muhammad Ali changed his name from Cassius Marcellus Clay to Muhammad Ali.
Yes, sir.
His first fight in 1967 was with Ernie Terrell. Old school hands know this.
Yes, sir.
In the news conference, Ernie Terrell refused to call Muhammad Ali with his new name.
Yes,
yes
sir.
He did.
Yes, sir. Talk.
Muhammad Ali looked at him and said, yeah, okay. They got in the ring.
Yes, sir.
And while he was doing the rope,
come on here. I see you.
While he was doing the rope, doc.
Yes, sir.
And floating like a butterfly and singing like a bee.
Yes, sir.
Every time, mommy, he hit Ernie Terrell, he said, bam, what's my name? What am I trying to say to you? The redeemed of the Lord.
Yes,
or the sanctuary. Can I get a witness over here?
Yes,
if you know you operate under a new name, walk like you got it. Talk like you got it. If he done wrote the tablets of your vision on your name, act like you got somebody. Knows who you are and what you are. Don't you give in to the circumstances, situations you are going in. God got you, and he's still such a God. He's not a man that can lie. He's not a man that can fail. If he said it, that settles it. So what are you saying to me, Pastor? I'm going to be faithful. When they don't come to church, I'm going to still preach. When they don't want to give, I'm still going to preach. When they don't want to be faithful, I'm going to be faithful. Because God just called us to be faithful on a few things so he can make us ruler over many. I'm done. I kept you longer than I should have. But can I give him a holler right now? Because he's been so good to me, Doc. He brought me from a mighty long way. He saved me from danger seen and unseen. He's placed me right in the middle of the seaboard under some seasoned shakes. And the Bible says that the oil of Aaron's beard runs down. I'm beginning to feel a little bit of that oil up in here. I thank you, God. I thank you because you've been so good to me.